It is a fact. Most home burglaries start with a ring of your doorbell to make sure you're not home. Alarm systems tell you after someone breaks in, but Ring Video Doorbell can prevent a burglary before it happens. Ring lets you see and speak with whoever's at your home from anywhere using your smartphone. With Ring, you're always home. Ring takes just 5 minutes to install, and for under $200, it's the easiest, most cost-effective way to protect and monitor your home. Go to ring.com/WSJ for free expedited FedEx shipping. That's Ring. ring.com/WSJ.
Previewing the Fed policy meeting. Amid stock market volatility and a global economic slump, where is the central bank leaning? More after this.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
I'm Charlie Turner from the Wall Street Journal, and welcome to this edition of Your Money Matters. Wall Street's focus will shift to the Fed for the next 2 days. The Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee meets today and tomorrow to discuss the economy and the direction of interest rates. After raising short-term rates a quarter point in December, the Fed's not expected to adjust rates at this gathering. But Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, says there are key questions surrounding this meeting. Mark, what impact does this stock market volatility have on the Fed's outlook for interest rate policy?
Well, first of all, it's something that obviously the Federal Reserve is watching very closely. It also is worth mentioning that this Fed meeting is different from the previous one and the one that will come in the month of March, because at those meetings, the Fed not only issues its usually somewhat compact written statement, but at those, not this one, there are news conferences to follow with Fed Chair Janet Yellen and a summary of economic projections issued by members of the Federal Open Market Committee. That's a long way of saying that the Fed only has to say so much at this meeting, and it probably will acknowledge some of the volatility or stresses being seen in the global economies and financial system. It certainly is going to maintain the federal funds rate, in other words, not raise interest rates. And I think it's going to hold its cards close to its proverbial vest with respect to further rate increases later this year.
It just seems like since they're not having a press conference afterwards, and, you know, the statement's going to be rather brief, there's going to be relatively little that they're saying.
Well, I think you're right. And, of course, the Fed tries to walk this narrow path of quote-unquote transparency, but also not saying too much. This is something that has been, we'll use the word, evolving over time from Chairman Greenspan through Bernanke and now Chair Yellen. The Fed, you know, earlier had said that it was effectively on track for 4 interest rate hikes this year. Most financial markets participants and pretty much the rest of the world believe that that's going to be hard to achieve, given the fact that oil prices have applied downward pressure to headline inflation. Core inflation seems to be sort of hanging in there. But it's going to be really remarkable to see how the Fed can stick to its earlier projection, if it can, with respect to those 4 rate increases this year. And again, the markets are betting against it at this point.
Well, let's go into that. How is this slump in oil prices, which shows no signs of abating, at least at this point, how will that slump affect the Fed's stated goal of progress toward 2% annual inflation?
Well, of course, with respect to headline inflation, it's applying downward pressure. And of course, when we extract food and energy, that's how we get to core. There really is an issue about deflation around the world these days. And this is something that is obviously, I think, of primary concern to the Fed, given the fact that with the latest reading on unemployment at 5%, that is close to the level that it regards as full employment. So while the Fed hasn't really checked unemployment off of its watch list, in other words, it's still watching for further signs of improvement and hoping that other signs of slack in the labor market can be eradicated. The fact that it wants to see inflation move toward its 2% target and has typically used a verbiage along the lines of wants to be reasonably confident that it can hit that target. When you have oil slumping and other commodities slumping, that simply moves you further away from that target. And we're just going to have to continue to watch this and see what level of concern the Fed attaches to it. It probably helps to make for a more vigorous debate among members of the Federal Open Market Committee, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, is the Fed concerned about any economic fallout from these plummeting oil prices and slower global economic growth?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when you have, almost on a monthly basis, revisions to global growth coming down, such as from the IMF, et cetera, the Fed can't help but be concerned about that. We know that that has shown up in the weakness in our nation's manufacturing sector, which, according to the ISM readings, as you know, have shown contraction. And in other words, not growing, but rather shrinking in terms of activity. But we also know that manufacturing is not as important a contributor to our own nation's economic performance. But I think the primary concern is whether the market's weakness, the weakness in the financial markets in our country and elsewhere, whether that filters into actual economic weakness. And for example, when we see that consumer confidence hasn't declined, but rather has risen ever so slightly over the course of a month where the financial markets, or at least the U.S. stock market, has had a historically miserable performance, that at least is one sign that it's not carrying over. But obviously we need to see a lot of other things, including whether it's dampening business confidence that could filter on through to a problem with hiring, which we haven't seen so far.
What about the U.S.'s own economic growth, which seems to have slowed?
Obviously, fourth quarter growth in 2015 is not going to look very good, but we've been through any number of quarters in recent years where we have kind of a one-off negative performance and a rebound. And that does seem to be the expectation that you sort of say, okay, the fourth quarter of last year was not a good situation, but as inventories continue to get worked down and we see the service sector continuing to do a fairly good job of steering the economic growth ship in the United States. Right now, and obviously we are not yet a month into the first month of the first quarter, expectations are that we'll continue to see modest economic growth in the first quarter of 2016.
Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com, thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Charlie.
That's this edition of Your Money Matters. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Charlie Turner. Thanks for listening.